Welcome to the Josh Scanlon Podcast. This episode first appeared as a video on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/heritagewealthplanning. I hope you find it informative. Thanks. Retirees' out-of-pocket health expenses, real-world numbers. We're going to talk about here today, looking at a study from the EBRI, the Employee Benefit Research Institute, just issued here, published on April 3rd, 2018. How much do retirees actually spend in retirement? My phone just rang. Sorry there, my friends. How much do they actually spend in retirement? I'm telling you, this is critical because it's such good information. I have a feeling it's going to make you feel real good when you do your own financial planning. So stay tuned. Might need to divide this up in two because there's a lot to go over and it's going to be exciting. So stay tuned. I can't wait to talk to you about this. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. Welcome to Heritage Wealth Planning YouTube channel, my friends, the place where you come to learn about health costs in retirement, Medicare, Medicare supplemental plans, which are what? Medigap, that's right. Medicare Advantage, which is Part C, that's right. So you got Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D. All right, Medigap is basically F and G, essentially, is what you want. You buy your A, you buy your B, you buy your D, and then you have your Medigap. So the two different things there. Got a lot of talking about Medicare because it gets overlooked a lot. I admit that myself. So if you like what you see, subscribe, and then hit the bell for notification. Be notified for future content. All right, enough of that. Let's go. Oh, I got to button my shirt here. Let's get right into this. This one, man, I cannot tell you how excited I am to share this with you. I've been in financial planning for 21 years. The one thing I hear all the time, I don't want to be a burden to my kids, so I don't want to spend any money today because I want to make sure I have money when that situation comes up where I need help. I hear that all the time. And unfortunately, I think, the Fidelity study. A lot of studies play on people's fears that they're just one, fall from a ladder away from having $300,000 of emergency spending in health insurance, healthcare. Or they say, Fidelity says you need $300,000 before long-term care to cover your health expenses. It's just, I hate that stuff because they don't ever say you need $600,000 for food, you need $800,000 for homeowners insurance or whatever. They don't ever say that. They just focus solely on the health insurance, which makes people very, very nervous. So, all right, this one here is a 23-pager, and I'm going to read it to you, and then I'll figure out when to take a break. Let's see. It's 406. I'll probably divide this into two. So at 416, I'll probably break and come back to do a second episode. Cumulative out of health pocket healthcare expenses after the age of 70. This study estimates how much retirees spend on out of pocket health expenses after the age of 70 until their death. Unlike many other studies, it includes only expenses for healthcare actually used. Medicare and insurance premiums are not included, all right? So Medicare and Part B, Part D, Medigap, if you have to pay Part C, they're not included. This is just real-world insurance stuff or healthcare services stuff. And it's based on self-reported expenses of actual retirees, not projections. So whoever Sadipo Banerjee, the man or the, I don't even know if that's man or woman, but you are the person. Let's just put it that way. This is freaking awesome. The numbers are adjusted for medical inflation and reported in 2015 dollars. The self-reported expenses are from a panel data of the cohort of health retirement studies. HRS is a health retirement study, and that's always a wonderful thing. By the way, EBRI.org is the Employee Benefit Research Institute. And I love the work these guys do. All right, here are the findings. And we'll just give you the brief, then we'll dive into it. They got a lot of charts I want to show you. For the majority of surveyed people, out-of-pocket health expenses are not as high as commonly believed. For those who die at 95 or later, the median, now remember the median, half or under and half or above, cumulative out-of-pocket expense after age 70 until death is slightly over $27,000. All right, so let me pause. For those who die at 95 or later, the median, half above, half below, out-of-pocket expense is slightly above $27,000. That means two things have to happen there. A, you have to live beyond 95, and more likely each and every year, I grant you that. But even if you do, half the people who do have less than $27,000 of health costs. But these expenses are catastrophic for some. Again, for those who die at 95 or later, if you die at 87, this is not you. The 90 and 95th percentiles are nearly 172 and 270, essentially. In other words, the distribution of cumulative out-of-pocket medical expenses is skewed towards those with higher expenses. All right, so first, you have got to survive past age 95. And secondly, if you do, the median is 27,000, but 10% of that population who survives past 95 has a out-of-pocket expense of 172,000, and 5% has an out-of-pocket expense of 269. So how many people survive until 95? Let's say you have 100 people. I don't know. Let's say five. I mean, I don't even know. Got 100 people that are 65 years old today. We'll say five of them. We'll say 10 for simplicity. 10 survive till 95. We'll just say that. Of that 10, one has it, because that's 90%, is going to spend $172,000, and one half of one person is going to spend $269. 100 people who live beyond 95, it's just, you see, I mean, 100 people, what did I say? 100, that's what I'm saying. 100 people who are 65 now, 10 of them live beyond 95. Of those 10, one, there's a 1% chance that you are going to spend $172,000 with real world numbers. These are real reported. $172,000, and a one half 1% chance they're going to spend $269. Ah, I freak out. Oh my goodness. No. Nursing home expenses are one of the biggest contributors, which is driving the skewness of the distribution. Without out of pocket nursing home expenses, the 90 and 95th percentiles of people who die at 95 drops to nearly 96 and 154. So again, if you're not in a nursing home, it's half. You pay half. And yet, this is the worst case scenario. Let that sink in for a second. 100 people are at 65 today. 10 of those people, I don't even know if that's even a good number to use. That's 10%. Will survive 95 years old. Of those 10 people who survive, 10% will have a cost if they go to a nursing home, 172. If they don't go to a nursing home, 96. One half of 1% if they go to nursing home will be 270. One half of 1% if they don't go to nursing home will be 154. For all surveyed people, this is everybody, not just those who survived 95. The median out-of-pocket nursing home expense is a big fat goose egg. The median, that means half have nothing and half have something. It's not even half have nothing, half have something. I mean, because you can't have less than nothing. But just like the distribution of total out-of-pocket healthcare expenses, the distribution of nursing home expenses is also skewed towards those with higher expenses, which means they saw a small percentage of retirees face very high expenses. I mean, we're talking an incredibly small percentage of retirees. For those who die, we already talked about that. For those who die after 95, we talked about that. There's a nursing home example. Okay. There are significant differences between men and women as well. Women are significantly more likely to enter a nursing home after the age of 70 versus 38% for men and 51% for women. Also, women who live long enough spend significantly more than men with similar lifespans. For example, the 90 percentiles of out-of-pocket nursing home expenses for men and women who die at an age 95 or later is about 77,000, 99,000 respectively. All right. So longevity has a strong positive correlation with nursing home entry. Obviously the longer you live, the more likely you're going to go to nursing home. And I think let's just go back to this. More likely to enter a nursing home after the age of 70. Yeah. So the longer you live, the more likely you're going to go into a nursing home. One of three surveyed retirees are covered by Medicaid. Now that could be an issue. They're saying, well, I ran out of my money, so only Medicaid gives me my ability to pay for my health insurance or health care. Okay, that might be an issue. One of three surveyed retirees are surveyed or covered by Medicaid, and that's the reason why Medicaid is hurting so much. In of itself, though, should that make you freak out and say, oh, I can't spend my money and go on that wonderful trip I want to take my grandkids? No, because the vast, vast, vast majority of people are not going to spend that much on health care when they retire. All right, so the cumulative expense numbers for the age 70 to death period should be interpreted more as a lower bound than a true estimate. A slightly better measure, as described in Section 6, though not perfect, might be the average annual pocket health care expenses. Now, we'll talk about that. But the distribution of average annual expenses is also rightly skewed and retains the characteristics of the cumulative distribution against the median percent, the 90th percentile, 95th percentile of average annual out-of-pocket. So here, for the entirety, age 70 to death, the median is $2,000 in out-of-pocket healthcare costs. The 90th percentile is $11,000, and the 95th is $19,000. So we have 100 people in our survey. The median is going to spend $2,000 in healthcare costs, essentially. So that and out-of-pocket healthcare expenses. Again, this does not include your Medicare premiums, but $2,000. Half are going to spend more, half are going to spend less. Of those 100 people, 10%, 10 are going to spend $11,000. Of those 100 people, 5% are going to spend $19,000. All right, so let's keep going down because I want to talk about this. I think this is absolutely, and we got all these tables. All right, so let's go. One of the biggest risks American retirees face is the cost of healthcare. Healthcare costs generally increase with age, but how much an individual spends on healthcare during his or her retirement years depends on a lot of uncertain factors, which makes everyone nervous because they don't know. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know how much you're going to, if you're going to get sick, you don't know. There are a number of studies and estimates currently available. For example, according to Fidelity's retire healthcare costs, a 65-year-old couple retiring in 2016 will need $260,000 to cover healthcare costs in retirement. And that does not include long-term care, which Fidelity estimates will require an additional $130,000 for that same couple. So essentially they're saying it's going to cost you $400,000. See, that's what I'm talking about. That bothers me because we don't see that. Yes, if you need long-term care, you could be in a world of hurt without question. But the likelihood of you needing long-term care is so remote that it's just not that big of a deal to go crazy over. Now, you can always buy a long-term care insurance policy for $300-$400 a month. Might be money well spent. But if you're tight on your money, you can't afford it, don't worry about it because now we have the Medicaid kicking in. Now, again, Medicaid is typically not the solution you want in your last few years because if you've ever been in a Medicaid facility, they aren't great. But should that deter you from taking your vacation with your grandkids at 68 years old because you're thinking, I better save this money? No. A similar projection done by our own EBRI predicts that a 65-year-old man and woman would need $127,000 and $143,000 respectively if they want to have a 90% chance of covering all their health care costs, excluding long-term care costs in retirement. These projections are based on assumptions about types of Medicare coverage people have during retirement and to a large extent reflects the premiums of such exemptions. Exactly. So you're going to pay premiums. I don't have a problem saying you need $127,000 a year because if you have $3,000 a year in just your Part B and your Medigap policies, and then you have coinsurance and all that. In fact, we use financial planning. It says a husband and wife are going to have to spend basically $10,000 a year. You know, $10,000 a year over 20 years gives us $200,000. I mean, that right there doesn't shock me in the least that you have to spend just on your premiums, your coinsurance, and copays. But again, how much you got to spend on food? How much you got to spend on car insurance? I mean, so why does that never factored into these equations where it's fear mongering? I hate to say it. All right. But they're based on assumptions. For example, the EBRI projections include premiums for Medigap Plan F. Now, remember, Medigap Plan F is the most expensive by far because there are no annual copays. And they right here, they're actually saying 1846. So right here in Georgia, the Medigap Plan F was about 1950 roughly in Fulton County. And you can get the Plan G, I think it's about 1300. So now Plan G, you got to pay, you got to pay your Part B. $183 for your copay if you use Part B, and then as we got to pay your copay, is what it is, and so that's why it's a lot cheaper. So anyway, they're using the most extensive Plan F, and remember, 2020, you can't even get it anyway. In fact, however, many people might not choose to get Medigap coverage or choose different levels of Medigap coverage, Part G, or they might get Medicare Advantage. Medicare Part B premiums, which average $134 per month, are deducted from Social Security checks, not from personal savings of retirees. So if these premiums are included when calculating how much savings people will need for retirement, ideally such savings should include the present value of Social Security benefits as well. I cannot agree that more. What they're saying there is they're saying at the end of the day, we're already factoring this in with the reduction on your Part B, with the reducing of your Social Security benefits. So you can't say I need $200,000 in this pot of money over here in order to pay for all this stuff when the facts are it's already been paid for with your Social Security benefits. So it's not a income that you need to have tap into. It's already taken care of. Now, that means you don't have $134,000 for other things. I get that. But again, you don't need that $200,000 according to Fidelity to say, oh, I have to have $200,000 of cash reserve for healthcare because it's already happening. This study estimates the out-of-pocket expenses at OOP for people incur for using different types of health services after the age of 70. However, there are two critical differences between this study and other studies mentioned above. First, this study reflects only the cost of medical care received. Different types of Medicare and retiree insurance premiums are not included in the study. So we got to add that, you know, $5,000 to $7,000 a year that you're going to spend on your premiums. I get that. But only for out-of-pocket expenses. And that's what everyone needs to be concerned with. Actual out-of-pocket expenses, not the presumed expenses through, you know, Medicare Part B premiums and in your Medigap F and all that, because you're going to pay those. Secondly, the numbers reported in this study are not projected healthcare expenses for any hypothetical individual. Rather, they're the actual OOP, out-of-pocket expenses, reported by individuals in the health household survey. So we're not making any assumptions regarding the types of health insurance coverage people choose, but rather is based on actual data. Now, this is what I love. The study uses data from 1993 using the HRS, a health retirement study, for the assets and health dynamics among the oldest ahead. The results show that why OOP, out-of-pocket expenses, can be extremely high for some, SESH expenses are moderate for most. This means the distribution of cumulative OOP healthcare expenses in retirement is skewed towards those with the highest levels of out-of-pocket expenses, which is nursing homes. One of the biggest factors. Well, the majority of people do not incur any nursing home expenses. For some older people, these expenses can be very high. All right, so let's take a break. I want to come back to this. I'm going to divide this up into two episodes because this 421, because this is fantastic. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and do the rest. I want to show you these charts they got down here. Lots of good charts. Oh, man, I love it. Lots of good charts. At the end of the day, my goal on this is to stop you from freaking out when it comes to your health expenses in retirement. Just stop it. You don't need to freak out. If you're 68 years old and you and your spouse have just retired and you're looking at enjoying, say you got $300,000 in various accounts, CDs, checking, IRAs, whatnot, and you're like, you know, my grandkids, I'd love to take a cruise with them too. I don't know, Cancun, I don't care. Go do it. Do not do that because you're worried that you're going to run out of money and you're going to be sitting there eating cat food and your granddaughter's going to have to come change your diapers. It's just not likely. Does that mean it can't happen? No, it could. But as we can see, there are alternatives to the happening. In the vast majority of people using real world data, it does not happen to. So go enjoy it. Enjoy your kids and grandkids. All right, so come back. Don't forget to subscribe. We'll do part two next time. We'll see you here in just a bit. Thanks, guys.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.